What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul,
is...
It's in my hand, Paul!
Fan Effect.
Well, the holidays are over. We're going to look back at some of the biggest movies, or we did, the ones that came out in 2023. 2024 has a lot more on the docket, considering the strikes, right?
Yes, hopefully that's the case. Well, giving us a look is Andy Farnsworth, host of KSL News Radio's The Movie Show every Friday.
Marco, you need to say something back.
Well, it's a new year and a new set of movies and streaming shows to tell you about. January, usually not a month where studios release their best movies into theaters. And from what we got here in week one, that's holding to be true so far, especially with our big movie of the week called Night Swim. Now, Night Swim is from the Blumhouse horror label, which actually done some pretty solid work in the past, including The Black Phone, Happy Death Day, and last year's hit Megan. But this one is a far cry from those. Night Swim revolves around a backyard swimming pool in Minnesota that may be haunted? Something like that. It stars Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son, Wyatt Russell, as fictional former Major League Baseball player Ray Waller. Ray had to retire after he's diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and now he and his wife, Eve, played by Kerry Condon, and their two kids are looking for a place to live where dad can rehab and the family can settle down. They find a nice house with a swimming pool in the backyard, but mom and the kids start to notice weird stuff happening when they swim in it. But dad's MS is getting better after he swims, so what could it all mean? Honestly, it's not worth finding out the answer. The movie is not scary enough to overcome the story, which felt overly contrived and ridiculous to me. And unlike other Blumhouse movies, which I have enjoyed, this one is entirely without humor. About the only thing it has in its favor is the relatively short runtime. Look, folks, there's a reason this movie's coming out in the weeks after the holidays. I give Night Swim a D-plus grade and was so glad I didn't have to pay to watch it. It's rated PG-13 and only in theaters. Up next is an independent film that I thought was appropriate to release during Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month here in Utah. Opening locally is Weak Layers, an attempted throwback movie to the ski comedies from the 80s and 90s with a bit of Warren Miller thrown in there too, almost literally at one point. Canadian writer-director Katie Burrell also stars in this comedy about a ski bum in her early 30s named Cleo, who lives at Lake Tahoe with her two friends, one a former failed Olympic skier and the other talented but also alcoholic party girl snowboarder. Cleo's also an aspiring amateur filmmaker who gets the chance to compete in a 72-hour weekend film festival held at a ski resort. That is, if she can get her roomies to focus long enough to help and if she can avoid getting distracted by an attractive ski celebrity who's making his own film. You can tell as you watch it that Weak Layers is a passion project for Burrell. And while I didn't find all of it to be that funny, it had some good moments, including the gorgeous skiing, snowboarding, and snowmobiling scenes. Weak Layers is ostensibly about life in a ski town, albeit not a life that I personally have ever seen firsthand. It did, however, make me want to pay a visit to one of the many great ski resorts we have here in Utah. I give Weak Layers a C-plus grade. It's rated R for language and gross humor and is playing only in theaters. Now, if instead of comedy or horror, you're in the mood for a super bloody and violent action movie, then don't worry because I've got something for you, too. It's called Mayhem. Yes, it includes the exclamation point in the official title of the movie. It follows Sam, a semi-pro fighter and ex-con from France who's now living in Thailand with his native wife and stepdaughter, and even has a baby on the way. But when Sam's roped into doing a favor for a local gangster, things go terribly wrong, and now he's on a bloody path to revenge against those who would harm his family. To say there's a lot of blood in this movie would be an understatement. At first, the violence is within typical action movie limits, but once Sam starts on the revenge path, things ratchet all the way up to 11, and that's where it really lost me. The final battle with the final boss bordered on ridiculous. Oh, and about the only a third of the dialogue is in Mayhem is in English, so prepare for a bunch of subtitle reading. But if martial arts and Asian cinema-style fights are your thing, yeah, Mayhem has plenty of it. I give it a C-minus grade, and it's only that high because I thought the actor who played Sam, Nassim Lies, was kind of cool. Mayhem is rated R and only in theaters. Our final theatrical release this week is called Race for Glory, Audi versus Lancia. It's based on the actual events that happened at the 1983 Rally World Championships between German automaker Audi and Italian automaker Lancia. If you're not familiar, rally racing involves cars that race mostly on unpaved roads with a driver and navigator trying to beat the clock. Race for Glory stars Daniel Brühl, who Marvel fans will recognize as Baron Zemo from Captain America Civil War. Now, I didn't get to see this one, but my movie show co-host Steve Sales did, and he says the film had some really cool rally racing, but also you don't really learn anything about the characters except that they all loved cars. Steve gave it a C-plus grade. Race for Glory is rated R and only in theaters. Now, as we switch to streaming, we come to the best thing I watched this week, a foreign language film called Society of the Snow that will likely be nominated for an Academy Award later this year. It's a retelling of the story of the Uruguayan rugby team whose plane crashed in the snowy peaks of the Andes Mountains of South America back in 1972. This story was told with American actors 30 years ago in the 1993 movie Alive with Ethan Hawke and Josh Lucas, but this time it's an all-native South American cast who portray the 29 victims and 16 eventual survivors who had to contend with their injuries, the weather, freezing temperatures, avalanches, and probably most famously starvation as they fought to stay alive until they were finally rescued 72 days later. This is an unflinching look at what happened to those people. Director Jay Bayona does a masterful job making you feel like you're right there alongside them, especially the sound editing. It also covers, with respect and without sensationalism, their heart-wrenching decision to consume as best they could the bodies of their fallen friends and family. Society of the Snow is difficult to watch at times, no question. So you kind of have to prepare yourself emotionally before you watch. And it stays with you in a powerful way when you finish. I'm not sure I'll ever watch it again, but I am glad I watched it once. I give Society of the Snow an A grade. It's rated R and it's only on Netflix, dubbed in English. Another movie releasing on streaming today is the science fiction movie Foe, starring Saoirse Ronan and Paul Mescal. Set in a future where the Earth is experiencing extreme drought conditions, humans are preparing to try and colonize space. Mescal plays a farmer named Junior and Ronan, his wife named Hen. When the government comes and tells Junior he's been drafted to go prepare to live in space, they explain that a cyborg who looks like Junior and is programmed with all his memories will stay with Hen and the farm. That's about all I can really say without giving away too much of the story. Foe is a really slow-moving movie, and it has lots of R-rated content. I thought it was a bit better than average, although a couple of the story twists were pretty obvious to me before they happened. I give the movie a C grade. It's rated R and streaming on Prime Video. Now, a couple of streaming series up first is The Brother's Son on Netflix. It's a bloody martial arts action comedy series starring Michelle Yeoh, Justin Chen, and Sam Lee. When the head of a Taiwanese crime syndicate is shot, his oldest son, Charles, played by Chen, heads to Los Angeles to protect his mother and his younger brother, who's been raised in the U.S., completely sheltered from the truth about his family, until now. This is really an equal parts action and comedy. Older brother Charles is a tough guy with mad fighting skills, while younger brother Bruce is a guy who spends his college tuition money to secretly take improv lessons. That's what you're in for as you watch The Brother's Son. Nothing too unique, but the fights are well choreographed and the humor is pretty well written. Each of the 8 episodes are about an hour long. The Brother's Son is rated TVMA, and again, it's on Netflix. Finally, the other streaming series new this week is actually one with a Utah tie-in. The limited series documentary Daughters of the Cult looks at the Irville LeBaron polygamous cult mostly through interviews with members of LeBaron's family. LeBaron made headlines in the late 1970s and early 1980s as members of his religious sect were accused of committing murders of rival polygamous group leaders on his orders. The Utah connection is that one of those murders, that of polygamous leader Rulon Allred, happened in Murray in 1977. Daughters of the Cult is a bit sensationalistic, but I also found it to be interesting and informative. The series is produced by ABC News, and all 5 episodes are available to stream on Hulu. Now, looking ahead to next week, a new Jason Statham film and a musical version of Mean Girls comes to movie theaters. Guys?
Andy, thank you very much.
That's a lot to digest, but we like that Andy weeds out the ones that
I love
pass
his
on
breakdowns.
Hey, thanks for watching. I hope you and your family found this review helpful, and I invite you to check out my other in-depth reviews of movies and streaming TV shows on KSLTV.com. I'll see you there.